Shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration.
Good afternoon. I'm Pastor Brett, and we're gathered here today as a witness of the legacy of life that Cynthia Ann Palmer has left to us. On behalf of the Palmer family, I want to thank you for taking time to be here, and for those online also, and thank you for your love and support of the family. In John 17:14, our Lord reminds us that all who follow him are not of this world, but belong to him and are citizens of heaven. As a wife, a mother, a sibling, a friend, and a sister in Christ, Cindy has touched and left an indelible mark on all of us, one that we will cherish and hold dear. Yet we have shared memories as we gather here today, and experiences with Cindy will bind our hearts together of all those who loved her. God is very aware of our thankfulness of having known Cindy, and he's just aware of our sense of loss of not being able to interact with her anymore in this life, at least temporarily. Knowing this, he has provided for us the Holy Spirit, friends, family, to comfort you in your time of need. Through Jesus' work on the cross, he secured for us the assurance of hope of eternal life with him, with a life of with God in heaven, which Cindy is now experiencing. I encourage each of you to take advantage of these resources that God has offered us and given to us as we travel this new path in life. The Psalms remind us that God will surely walk with you in each step of the way when we feel we're in life's valleys. If you would, please bow your head and pray with me as we begin the service. Lord God, we are gathered here today because of our confidence in your promises and the proof that you've given to us that you can carry them out. You have stated that nothing can snatch us from your care and love. Because of your Son Jesus' victory on the cross, death no longer has hold on us. You have promised us eternal life with you in heaven to all who know and follow you. Now, as we take time to remember how Cindy has impacted our lives for all those who are present and many more who are not able to be here today, it is with great joy and comfort that we know that Cindy is now in your presence. The Apostle Paul states, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let us be comforted by the knowledge that Cindy is now being cared for far beyond any of our human capacity. And this we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. The family would like to now share some of their favorite memories with you.
Oh man, taking one for the team here. Thank you all for coming and for all your prayers along the way. Our family has appreciated all the love and support you have given. It feels like we shouldn't be here for at least another 10 to 20 years. My mom was taken too soon, but God is in control, and believe it or not, our days are numbered, and we won't understand that until we get to heaven. But I just made some bullet points. She loved my dad the most. He was her soulmate. She loved her granddaughters more than us. She said if she could skip the kid phase and go straight to the grandkids, she would. She loved to be outside, razor riding or going camping. She loved to go to the beach, and she loved all the time we spent going to the lake and water skiing basically every weekend of my childhood. She was everyone's meemaw. All of my friends, their kids called them Meemaw and Papa. She was an amazing hostess. Everyone was always welcome. So many of you have spent Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter with us. Don't worry, I do have her roll recipe. She loved having lunch with her friends and then going shopping or to the movies. She always was telling whatever friend she was with what her grandkids were up to. She loved watching Tatum cheer and Aubrey play volleyball and Emily play basketball. She was their biggest fan. Mom loved floating in her pool. She loved happy hour at Thirsty's. She even ordered Rudy's barbecue to be delivered on Father's Day a couple years ago. She loved to travel and visit her Michigan family. I will miss all of our phone calls. There were days where we talked multiple times a day. Usually as soon as I found something out, I wanted to get on the phone and see if Mom knew about it. She was an amazing lady who loved her family well. I'm thankful for the time we spent together, the trips we took, and the memories we made. Luckily, my mom quit working right after Aubrey was born. Tatum was probably two. Emily was not here. So her and my dad got to travel for 12 years. They traveled the country. They got to see all the sights. So they have a lot of good memories to look back on. So that's really all I have to say. Thank you for coming. There's a book to sign if you haven't signed it, and then we're going to Dad's house afterwards. There is a lot of food. So come party with us. Mom loved to party. She did. She loved parties. So thank you.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart. Something's missing, and they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased, and knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me. There'll be no such thing as broken. All the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight, your race is won. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, you won't belong to me. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the hands that hold you now. As not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Till I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I see what you can finally see. Oh, the only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken. And all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now.
What? say. Only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I can't help falling in love with you? Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for I can't help falling in love.
You got to slide it into it.
So these three have become
that comes down at the back.
New barbers as of today.
And then clip at the bottom.
Oh,
it won't take that much off.
Hey, and then go ahead and make sure the forks are all the way out so that
they're all longest, the way out.
The longest clip that you can
That's
get.
That's the longest clip. Okay, Sheldon, we're going to do this.
Sheldon? Did she just call you Sheldon?
She just called you Sheldon.
Do I just take it next to his hair?
I thought you were letting Emmy do this.
Yeah, here, yeah. Emmy.
That way it's Emmy's fault.
Do you have my haircut records?
Do I need to video the actual, like,
whoa,
what are you doing?
I told you it would take a lot
I don't like this when you guys are laughing.
Good job, Mom.
All the way up.
No, all the way up.
It's too late now. Just let him do the whole thing.
You know our love was meant to be the kind of love to last forever. And I want you here with me from tonight until the end of time. You should know.
You bring me.
On the inside of your bulletin, it says it's a celebration of life. But for believers, it isn't just a celebration of this past life, it's a celebration of the life to come. I'm going to be talking today about heaven. I don't know how much time you've thought about heaven. We talk about it a lot, but I challenge you to get into Scripture and really learn about what God has promised us. From this perspective in life and the world, heaven is an object of longing and a goal of human existence for many people. Over 80% of Americans believe there's a special place called heaven, and almost all of them think that they're going to be there. Scripture makes it clear, however, that you only get there by knowing and loving Jesus. Sometimes we talk about a God-shaped vacuum in the human heart, but I think there's also a heaven-shaped vacuum sitting right next to that. Because I think deep down in our souls, we know that this life was made for something more than what we've experienced. We know that we're going to live somewhere forever. And Cindy knew this also. Secured for us by Jesus' work on the cross, heaven is also a reward for earthly toil in God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul saw himself as finishing a race and looking forward to a crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now Cindy has also finished her earthly race and received her crown. What will heaven be like? As I said before, many Christians talk about it. We talk about it oftentimes in funeral, but we don't really get down into the nitty-gritty of it, and I'd like to do that a little bit here today. Perhaps the most obvious thing and place to start about Scripture as it teaches about that is that it teaches that it's a real place. Several passages show that Jesus taught that is real and is definite place. I'll just give you one example in John chapter 14. It says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." That's a real place he's talking about. He's going to go there, he's going to come back and get us. Popular culture would have us believe that it's kind of like floating on a cloud and, you know, we're just kind of mindlessly happy with a smile. But that's not the picture that the scripture gives us at all. Let me assure you that heaven is a place of solid real estate as Chicago, Tucson, Phoenix, San Diego, pick a town. It's for real. But perhaps even more importantly, it's a place where everything is going to be made right again. When we think of all the stuff that's going wrong, whether it's in our lives or the world, heaven's going to be a place where all that is fixed. Sin will be done away with. Creation will no longer be in pain or grumble from the penalty of sin. We'll no longer be separated from God's presence. Death and evil will be defeated once and for all. And our propensity to pride and to do selfish things will be gone. All pain will be gone also. Heaven is a place free from all the things that cause pain in this life. Revelations 21, 3 through 6. Our minds and our bodies will be perfected. We won't have a need anymore for medication, wheelchairs, or hospital. Amen. Our two dominant responses to that life, this new life, will be joy, complete joy, and satisfaction. When's the last time you really felt that? In heaven, it's everyday experience. The description we are given reminds us maybe perhaps even the fall when God walked among men in the garden. It's also a place of purity and perfection, a place of beauty beyond what we can even imagine, or it's definitely what we've experienced. We are told that the garments of those who live there are spotless and they're pure, just like the people themselves. It's a place where God's presence dwells in the splendor of his majesty that radiates through the whole city. It gives light to all who are present. There's no longer a need for sun and the moon to give light for day or night because God will provide that. It's a place where Jesus Christ himself built a house with many rooms. And that many rooms is in a magnificent city, Revelations chapter 20, verse 22 talks about, whose walls are over 200 feet tall. It has 12 gates attended by 12 angels. And each gate is said to be carved out of a single large pearl. I think the way you get in it is like the pearl, when it's twisted, is solid. And when it goes like this, it opens up and you can enter into it. This city is of great size. It's bigger than any city that's ever existed in history. As best we can understand the measurements that are given to us, it's about 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles tall. Imagine that. It's enough room to comfortably hold all the believers in all of history. Its streets are made of transparent gold. And the rest of the city is also built of materials that are translucent to light so that it can go through without any hindrances. There's a little story about a man who was basically faithful. He was a believer, but he also was a little bit stingy. And so when his time came to be in heaven and he was up in that by that pearly gate, he had a suitcase with him. And that angel asked him, "Why do you have that suitcase?" And he opened it up and he saw that he had taken all his gold bullion, you know, gold bricks there. And all the angel could do was just roll his eyes and say, "Why did you bring road pavers all this way?" You know, heaven treasure is so much greater than anything we can imagine on earth. It also talks about there's going to be a river of life that runs through the city. It's called the waters of life. It proceeds from the throne of God and the Lamb out of Revelation 22, verse 1. And its waters, the trees that bear 12 types of fruit. We don't know whether it's 12 different types of fruit or each fruit have 12 different kind of flavors to it. Its inhabitants include the saints of all ages, as well as innumerable angels. So far we've had a description of the physical aspects of what heaven might look like, what Cindy's experiencing right now as she looks around. But we might be wondering what she's going to be doing there and what we'll be doing there when we get there. But first of all, I think that she's going to worship as she's never worshipped before. It's going to be a worship without any type of distraction. Her full heart, her mind, and her soul will worship God free of any doubt, of any worry, of any feelings of guilt. It'll be a worship encounter like she's never had before in the purest form. Secondly, I think she's going to serve without exhaustion. says, no longer will our body and minds grow weak or tired while serving. That's partly because she's going to be ministering just as God designed her to do. Cindy will have a complete and absolute satisfaction in all that she does because it'll be the perfect match for her gifts and her talents. Thirdly, she'll be able to fellowship without fear. We all kind of do this dance, even for people we know well, of wondering if we're going to be rejected in some way. It's just that awkward relationship. But in heaven, she can be fully transparent. She can be herself and still be absolutely loved and valued by all who are around her. Additionally, and I like this one, she's going to be able to learn about the depth and the vastness of God's person and creation for the rest of eternity. How great it's going to begin each day to learn something really cool about God, really new. Whether it be his creative powers, his wisdom, his never-ending love, his holiness, we'll never exhaust the pursuit of knowing who God is. But if she does want a break, she can take it, but she's not going to be bored. I hate being bored. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no boredom in heaven. Each new day, even if we take a rest, will be in anticipation for the great next day. We've all had a lot of experiences, and we've developed skills and talents living on this earth, and it's not for naught. It's that those will be used in heaven. Everything that she learned in life will be used, and she will be a blessing to all those in heaven, just like she was a blessing to all the friends and family here. So now we know a little bit about what heaven looks like. We know a little bit maybe what she might be doing. But will we know? Will we be able to recognize her when we get up there? What if it's 10 or 20 years from now? Of course, all our imperfections will be gone. And Scripture gives us little information about how old we'll look. I don't know if we'll all have beards or not, but you know. But I do know that in heaven, we will know each other at a much deeper and intimate level. I think we got a little hint of this on the Transfiguration, Mount Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were able to recognize Moses and Elijah, even though they had been dead for hundreds of years, and they knew who they were. I think there was just something about the two men, having come from God, that they were able to understand and recognize them, even though they'd never seen them. In the same way, I think we'll be able to recognize our loved ones out of the crowds of millions of believers, even though maybe it'd be 20 or 30 or 40 years, like I said. I don't understand exactly how it works, but I believe there will be no strangers in heaven. So what does all this talk about heaven mean to us who are still left here on earth? It means that we can rest with the knowledge that Cindy is experiencing a quality of life way beyond that any of us can imagine because of her faith in Jesus and his faithfulness. That she is in the very presence of God himself. That she is happier than she's ever been, and she's more fulfilled. And if she likes party, you know, they can party in heaven. We've seen that from the angels already. No one goes to heaven by accident. Heaven is God's prepared place for his prepared people. And heaven is nearer than we think. If a departed loved one could speak to us today, they may say something like this. Do not fret. You're not moving away from me. You're moving toward me with every tick of the clock. The walls between us are so thin, you might laugh if you could see them. As the old hymn says, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we are united with our loved ones in heaven and with God. I would like to end by reminding us of what the great prophet Jeremiah said to the nation of Israel as they were taken into captivity and things looked bleak. He reminded them of God's plans are always perfect, and so is his timing. God told Israel, for I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God offers that same hope and future that Cindy has right now for you and I if we claim the same thing that she claimed as Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. I like to read a little poem that I really like when I think of loved ones on the other side. It's called, This Is Not Death. It's glory. It's not dark. It's light. It isn't stumbling or groping or even faith because it's sight. This isn't grief. It's having my last tear wiped away. It's sunrise. It's the morning of my eternal day. This isn't even praying. It's speaking face to face. listening and glimpsing the wonders of his grace. This is the end of pleading for strength to bear my pain. Not even pain's dark memory will ever live again. How did I bear the earth life before I knew the rapture of meeting face to face, the one who sought me and saved me and kept me by his grace? Please bow with me as we pray. Lord God, we are so grateful for your loving kindness and mercy that you show us every day. We know that whatever circumstances we are going through, you have promised to be with us. We ask for a peace that defies our mortal senses and a rest that comes from knowing the knowledge that nothing can snatch us from your grasp, not even death. The separation we now feel from Cindy is but a temporary one, and one day not too long from now, we will join her in heaven. Help us to use this service not to be an anchor point that weighs us down, but let each of us use it as an opportunity to draw closer to you and closer to each other. We are all but pilgrims who tarry here on this earth for just a little bit. And while we complete the mission that Jesus has given us, Cindy's mission on earth is now complete, but a new one begins. May she hear the words from her loving Father, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We pray this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said before, the family would like to invite you to join them for a time of fellowship at their home. Their address is on the bottom of the bulletin. Thank you so much for coming and for being on the web and listening to us. Amen.
Says the one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him.